Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Verse 72. Tam asmin pratyag atmanam diya yoga pravritaya bhaktya viraktya jnanena vivichyatmane chintayet tamasmin pratyagatmanam Diya yoga pravrittaya bhaktya virakcha jnanena vivichyatmani chintayet tamasmin pratyagatmanam diya yoga pravrittaya Bhaktya virakcha jnanena vivichyatmani chintayet tamasmin pratyagatmanam diya yoga pravrittaya Bhaktya virakcha jnanena vivichyatmani chintayet
Tamasmin pratyagatmanam
Diya yoga pravrittaya
Bhaktya virakcha jnanana Vivichyatmani chintayet
Tamasmin
pratyagatmanam
Diya yoga
pravrittaya
Bhaktya virakcha jnanena
Vivichyatmani chintayet Tam, upon him, as men, in this, pratyak atmanam, the super soul, diya, with the mind, yoga pravrittaya, engaged in devotional service, bhaktya, through devotion, viraktya, through detachment, jnanena, through spiritual knowledge, vivichya, considering carefully, atmane, in the body, chintayet, one should contemplate. Translation. Therefore, through devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge acquired through concentrated devotional service, one should contemplate that supersoul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One can realize the supersoul within oneself. He is within one's body, but apart from the body, or transcendental to the body. Although sitting in the same body as the individual soul, the supersoul has no affection for the body, whereas the individual soul does. One has to detach himself, therefore, from this material body by discharging devotional service. It is clearly mentioned here, bhaktya, that one has to execute devotional service to the Supreme. As it is stated in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1-7, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. When Vasudeva, the all-pervading Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is served in completely pure devotion, detachment from the material world immediately begins. The purpose of Sankhya is to detach oneself from material contamination. This can be achieved simply by devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one is detached from the attraction of material prosperity, one can actually concentrate his mind upon the Supersoul. As long as the mind is distracted towards the material, there is no possibility of concentrating one's mind and intelligence upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his partial representation, Supersoul. In other words, one cannot concentrate one's mind and energy upon the Supreme unless one is detached from the material world. Following detachment from the material world, one can actually attain transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Truth. As long as one is entangled in sense enjoyment or material enjoyment, it is not possible to understand the Absolute Truth. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. One who is freed from material contamination is joyful and can enter into devotional service, and by devotional service, he can be liberated. In the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it is stated that one becomes joyful by discharging devotional service. In that joyful attitude, one can understand the science of God or Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is not possible. The analytical study of the elements of material nature and the concentration of the mind upon the Supersoul are the sum and substance of the Sankhya philosophical system. The perfection of the Sankhya Yoga culminates in devotional service unto the Absolute Truth. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. So let us read the verse again. Tamasmin pratyagatmanam dhya yoga pravrittaya bhaktya virakya jnanena vivachyatmani chintayet. Therefore, through devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge acquired through concentrated devotional service, one should contemplate that Supersoul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyas Jagripa Sindhubhyevacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is the last verse in this 26th chapter, which has been a very interesting and sometimes rather complicated chapter. Different aspects of the process of creation or manifestation of the material world. gradually at least moving in the direction of being manifest as we know it, although not yet. Yes. And this is all going on in the context of Lord Kapila Dev explaining his Sankhya philosophy, Krishna conscious, personalistic Sankhya philosophy, which is highly analytical and very sophisticated and very personalistic also. Yeah. And not just very personalistic, although it is, but culminating in pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So ultimately that Sankhya process of Lord Kapila, it cannot be separated from devotional service. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, we just finished our Bhagavad Gita seminar for Bhakti Shastri. And early on, or even rather to say, at different points in the narration, as the whole discussion develops, our acharyas make the point that the different forms of yoga, which are referred to here and there in different places, throughout, particularly, of course, in the first six chapters, one could say, but in fact, throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, different forms of yoga are referred to and described. And the point is made by our acharyas that these different forms of yoga cannot be successful. People who are practicing these different forms of yoga cannot be successful in their particular chosen form of yoga unless there is some devotional service there. Without at least the touch of devotional service, whether one tries to be a jnana yogi, karma yogi, ashtanga yogi, sat chakra yogi, or there are numerous other forms of yoga, whichever one may be trying to progress in and become perfect, and one cannot become perfect. One cannot even really make substantial progress unless there is at least some devotional service. Yes, so that's an important point, and here, of course, the point is even beyond that. Well, I could just mention, let me just mention, that the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita are dealing with different forms of yoga, and particularly karma yoga, culminating, of course, in the last verse, very clearly in devotional service, but otherwise throughout a number of chapters and in quite some detail, the main process of yoga being described is karma yoga, with some touch of jnana yoga anyway, but mainly karma yoga, that's a fact. Then in the last six chapters, chapters 13 to 18, then there's a focus on jnana. One could say jnana yoga, but definitely jnana, knowledge, nature, the enjoyer and consciousness, the modes of nature, the super soul, the divine and demoniac natures. There's a real focus on knowledge, or one could say jnana yoga. So our acharyas explain that the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which are focusing on devotional service, bhakti yoga, they're positioned like that in between, say, karma yoga and jnana yoga, and other types of yoga as well, but like that in order to touch both. Because if Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service, was simply placed at the end, then it would only touch one. It couldn't touch both. The first six chapters couldn't be touched. Yeah, so... And here we see, quite clearly, Lord Kapila's explaining in so many ways this interesting and very detailed knowledge. And sometimes it's a bit, it's not so easy to follow, you could say. But he's so much discussing it in the context of devotional service as being related to devotional service, inseparable from bhakti yoga devotional service. Yeah. So anyway, here in this verse, in the previous verses, just immediate previous verses, there's this description of the process of creation, the manifestation of the universe, and of course it's really described through using the vehicle of the universal form, what Prabhupada calls the cosmic being, which is discussed, of course, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in somewhat different terms. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, the universal forms, it's already manifest for a long time. Universe has been functional for a long time. Here, of course, it's talking about the universe just coming into being and the functioning of it just starting. And so different points are made that the different features of the universal form became manifest within it. But the universal form did not become activated, you could say, until the super soul in verse 70, described as the inner controller, the deity presiding over consciousness, who then entered the heart of the universal form. Then, as the verse says, at that very moment, the cosmic being arose from the causal waters and got into action, activated. The key was turned and, yeah, burst into action. And therefore, the verse I guess you read yesterday said, giving a parallel between that activation of the universal form, or in other words, the general functioning of the whole universe, giving a parallel between that and just a typical example of someone sleeping and being woken up. So the previous verse said, when a man is sleeping, all his material assets, namely the vital energy, the senses for recording knowledge, the senses for working, the mind and the intelligence, cannot arouse him. He can be aroused only when the super soul helps him. So only in this verse today, only when the super soul is activated can one... only through devotional service, which connects one with the super soul, who is the active principle, not just in the beginning of the universe, but throughout all the functioning of the universe. Only when we perform devotional service can we actually, you could say, become truly alive. Until there's devotional service, in fact, it's explained in such terms in a few places that until someone becomes a devotee in this sense, it's a very important sense, until they become a devotee, before that time, they should be considered dead, although living. Like the living dead, you know. There's some sort of fascination, I don't know, I guess mainly in America, but anyway, in the Western world, in zombie culture, the living dead, people who died, but then somehow or other, through some very abnormal, I don't know, process, but they become living again, but they're not really living, you know, in the normal sense. They're just like ghastly monsters, you know. I don't know if any of you out there in Facebook land or Zoom land are familiar with the zombie culture. But yeah, the living dead. So, the people in general then, are considered to be the living dead until they come to Krishna consciousness. Because their real life, doesn't begin until they live as who they really are. If you're living as somebody you're not, then it's some false type of life. Yeah. And we are not these bodies. These bodies are just these, I mean, they're very sophisticated, but compared to the soul, they're just these very kind of stupid machines which are just going to run out of life sooner or later, and you're living doing unnatural things, trying to get unnatural pleasure, which is not very nice, and actually even the very pleasure itself has so many problems connected with it and is the cause of so many problems, in fact all problems, you could say. So the whole thing is, it's just a nonsense. It's just a total nonsense. But people call it life. Yeah, people call it life. But it's not a real life, because we're the eternal servants of the Lord. And we only get real pleasure, real joy, when we're engaged in that natural position of devotional service to the Lord. Other than that, the body is just sort of flapping around. And it's just useless. And it's unnatural. And it's the source of so much pain. It's just crazy. But they can't see it. Okay, anyway. So this verse, and the purport is analyzing that situation. A person who's asleep. In the Bhagavatam, the point is made, there's one verse. I can't remember the actual reference, but it's definitely there, which says that sleep is like death. When you're asleep, you might as well be dead, because you are just doing nothing which will contribute even in illusory material terms to your progress or happiness in life. It's just, yeah, another aspect of the foolishness of material life. But then you wake up, and then you can do many things. As we've said, useless things. So, but when a person who's spiritually sleeping becomes connected to the super soul, then it's like that waking up, just in ordinary material terms, waking up in the morning. So when one is woken up from the ignorance of material life, one is woken up to pure Krishna consciousness, then it's just like being woken up from sleep, complete waste of time, to an active and valuable life through being connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in the terms mentioned here, the super soul. Yes, so there are three factors. There are three factors involved in that waking up, as described here. The essence, the sort of, it all culminates in, you could say, devotional service, but the components which bring one to that point are devotion, some development of devotion, then detachment, and then advancement in spiritual knowledge. When these things are there in your life, then you can engage in devotional service. Yeah. Now, of course, the most essential element is devotion. Prabhupada makes the point in the purport here that only when one is joyful through discharging devotional service can one understand the science of God. So without that component of devotion, then even these other things mentioned here, the other two components, detachment and advancement in knowledge, without that devotion, detachment cannot really come. I mean, people may take to some austerity or something, and some detachment may be there. But that detachment will not help produce the fruit of devotional service. Some devotion has to be there. And then on the basis of that, some detachment may manifest, which helps in Krishna consciousness. And then, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, when that joyfulness is there through devotional service, then transcendental knowledge can manifest. Otherwise, it's all detachment, spiritual knowledge. Without devotion, generally it's all connected with impersonalism. We know, in regard to detachment, we know there's very interesting, just short passage spoken by Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Lord Chaitanya, in the Praharia Bhava, what do they call that generally? You know what I mean. When Lord Chaitanya was revealing himself to all the devotees. What's the general?
Shed Buddha.
No. But the pastime.
Where he's revealing to Haridas and all the devotees.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, that pastime. Yes. So he's speaking to Haridas Thakur and revealing different things to him. And one thing he says is that he talks about devotion, he talks about detachment, austerity. And Lord Chaitanya mentions about the washerman who met Krishna when Krishna, Balaram, cowherd boys, when they were entering Mathura, and just immediately after that, Krishna killed Kamsa, and then he stayed in Mathura. He had just left Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya refers to that washerman who Krishna requested to give some of the very nice cloth which actually belonged to Kamsa, but the washerman refused in a very arrogant and, nasty way, actually. And Krishna killed him, gave him a slap, and his head fell off. And so Lord Chaitanya explains to Haridas Thakur and all the other devotees that washerman had performed great austerities in many lifetimes, just immediately before, in order to see God. And now he was seeing God. And he had the opportunity to render service to the Lord, obviously. But certainly he was seeing God, which was the goal of the austerities, severe austerities he'd performed for many lifetimes. But now, because his heart was hard, simply renunciation, detachment was there with no devotion. So when he saw the Lord, because his heart was hard, he offended the Lord. And there's no mention, Lord Chaitanya certainly doesn't say anything, about what happened to that washerman after having been killed. But there's certainly no mention that he went back to Godhead or something like that. Yes, so all these things, detachment and advancement, without devotion, they cannot, you could say, work. They cannot really help one come to the platform of reality. And reality means Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas, that we're all the eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One will get some other result, but it won't be that result of coming to the real platform of real life. It's just one will continue as some version of the living dead, but just in a different way from many others of the living dead who have detachment or attachment, knowledge or ignorance, but they don't have devotion. And Prabhupada refers to and partially quotes a very famous verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 127, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahoitukam. Famous verse that through rendering devotional service to Krishna Vasudev, one causelessly acquires knowledge and detachment from this world. Janayat yasu vairagyam jnanam chayat ahoitukam. Ahoitukam, hetu means cause, and ahetu means causelessly, with no cause. So, through rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna Vasudev, then causelessly knowledge and detachment arise. What does this causelessly mean? it's not just in an absolute sense that there's just no cause whatsoever. It's just simply manifesting from nowhere. It's specifically that there's no material cause. It's not through reading some material book of speculations about what life may supposedly be about. And it's certainly not as coming as a result of just performing severe austerities, self-denial for a long time. No, that's not it. That's not it. What it is there's no material cause of those types, but it's coming by the mercy of the Lord. Just like, just very shortly after that verse, this is 1:27, there's 1:216, Shushushosh Shadadasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatiyatha Nishevadat. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By that service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. An affinity means an attraction, an attachment. One really gets into it. One wants it. Yeah, through serving the devotees. So again, there in that verse, there is, you know, the possibility of interpreting it that knowledge or attachment, attraction to knowledge about the Lord, that it's coming causelessly. Because if you serve a person, it's one thing if a person instructs you on something, but it's another thing if someone doesn't instruct you, but you just serve them, and then that's it. Then how would you expect knowledge to come from that? I mean, knowledge could certainly come if the person felt pleased with you and then gave you some knowledge, but if they didn't actually give you knowledge, then there's no direct connection, at least put it that way, between the rendering of the service and the acquisition of the knowledge. But where's it coming from? It's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pleased by your rendering of service to his devotees, or in the case of 1:27, is just pleased by your rendering of devotional service. He's pleased that you've been doing some service for him. So he feels, how should I reciprocate? I'll give him knowledge. So this point, this principle of pleasing the Lord in different ways, in different devotional ways, and then as a result getting knowledge and detachment. This occurs in different places here and there in our literatures, in Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the teachings of our parampara, that knowledge, any attempt at knowledge and detachment or austerity, getting free from material attachment, independent of devotional service, it won't work. It's the wrong approach, and it'll simply put you just in a different position, material position, in material life. So these things have to be there. Prabhupada makes the point that unless we're joyful through discharging devotional service, we won't be able to understand the science of the Lord. But he also says that unless we're detached from the attraction of material prosperity through devotional service, or through devotional service, one will not be able to concentrate his mind on the super soul. If we're too materially attached, interested in material things, That verse is there in Bhagavad Gita, famous verse actually. So famous that I can't remember it offhand, but my computer always remembers. Wrong verse. What is it now? 2:44. Bhogashvarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyavasayatmaka buddhi samadho navadiyate. in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So, yes, this is the same, it's the same point, it's the point. So, yes, therefore, the teachings of Lord Kapila, of Sankhya, of analysis, of knowledge, understanding this world and what is beyond this world, and in this way becoming detached, appreciating the value of the world or lack of value of this world in terms of just material activity, as an essential part of teaching that Sankhya, he's teaching devotional service also. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.